You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Good morning, good morning. Y'all feel good today? It's a beautiful day. It's the day that the Lord has made, and we indeed can rejoice and be glad in it. We can be glad in the day maker. We can be glad and joyful in the way maker, the one who makes a way when it seems as if there is no way, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the loving Father, the Son, the Good Shepherd who guides us, the Spirit who has given us life. Praise be to God. Well, my name's Charles Shannon. For those of you who don't know me, I'm a friend of Point Harbor. I serve as the lead pastor of Mission Church through a toll tunnel in Norfolk, Virginia. And through the years, you have been friends and encouragement. You have been family in Christ. Distance separates us, but the Spirit unites us. And it is a joy for me in this hot summer of July to be able to open up God's word with you once again. If you have a copy of the scriptures, I want to invite you to turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. I've entitled the message for today, Rooting for Judas. Rooting for Judas. And I want us to consider, before we get into the text, what it looks like to go astray, to go left, to wander. And I want us to consider that Judas, he may have been the first one to go left, but what if ever since Judas went left, we too at times, we go left as well. Instead of following Jesus in the way of righteousness. Well, on this Sunday morning, I want to talk through these things. I want us to be real. If we're honest, we know this. We know that Judas, he has a reputation. What is he known for? Betraying Jesus. We know that some look at him and say he's a snake. He's a sellout. He's a shady disciple. Because when we comprehend what he has done, we might say it like this today, betraying Jesus is nasty work, right? That's dirty work, betraying the eternal Son of God. In the gospel accounts, he is somebody that nobody wants to be. This is the person in the story of Jesus that everybody boos, right? He's like a villain in a Marvel movie. Betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver is like some Marvel villain trying to collect Infinity Stones. But what again? What if, again, we ask the question, if Judas was actually the first disciple to go left and we too, like him, have been going left ever since at times? Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're getting real defensive right now. You said, Charles, I am not a Judas. I am not a Judas type. Don't liken me to Judas. But stay with me before you punt on me at the beginning of the message. You see, we shake our head at Judas, the betrayal of Judas, but maybe I want us to deeply consider maybe this is not too far from how we move and how we relate to Jesus at times. I mean, we don't mean to trade Jesus in, but in the tension of the times, and y'all, we live in tenuous times, in the noise of the streets, and there's a lot of noise in these streets, in news outlets, and social media outlets, and maybe in the pressure of life, home life, work life, family life, the pressure to get the bag, to survive, to stay sane, to stay safe, in that process, in all of the stuff of life, and y'all know what I'm talking about, it's a lot of stuff in this life. Maybe at times we betray Jesus and we end up rooting for Judas. And maybe it sounds something like this. Go, Judas, go, Judas, go. Go, Judas, go, Judas, go. Rooting for Judas. We all do. Now, there's probably a few of you here. You're like, Charles, I don't know where you're going with this, okay? This is my first time at this church. A friend invited me and I just came and I thought we were going to hear about Jesus and you're opening up and you're talking about Judas, the snake, the sellout, the shady disciple. But stay with me. Stay with me. And I know what others of you may be thinking. Charles, I know where Judas lives. I can take you to his house right now. We drive 3 hours north. We go to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I can show you where he lives. And I get the instinct. I get the temptation. But maybe it's too easy to say that Judas lives 3 hours north. And instead of looking to D.C., maybe we are invited by the Spirit to take a look in the mirror. You see, it's easy to point outside of ourselves and say, oh, that's clearly Judas or a Judas type. But I think the Spirit would have us, with God's help and with confidence of his love and care for us, to have some inspection, some self-inspection, some introspection as to how we at times are like Judas. So the story of Judas is less about him on this morning, and I actually think it's more about us. But we know where this story goes. Ultimately, Jesus is betrayed. He's sentenced under Pontius Pilate. Herod has a part in it as well. He's crucified on a cross, placed in a tomb. But we know where the end of this message is going. It's going to end not only with sober, it's going to lead us in sober introspection, but it actually ends in hope, the hope of resurrection. So I'm showing my cards where we're going. But on the way, I want us to look at four passages in Matthew's gospel, and I want us to consider when it gets hot, when tension builds up, when stress builds up, when times seem hopeless, would we join in with the crowds? Would we find ourselves in practice saying, go Judas, go? Well, begin with me, Matthew 26, verses 14 through 16, betraying Jesus, rooting for Judas. Go, Judas. Go, Judas. Go. Look at verse 14 in Matthew 26. It says this, or look along on the screen. And then one of the 12, these are the 12 disciples, whose name was Judas Iscariot, he went to the chief priest, and listen to what he says to the chief priest. What will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they said, Judas, you've got a deal. They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, we're told, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Will he succeed? Will Judas succeed in this betrayal? Well, those who desire for Judas to succeed, they are yelling, chanting, go Judas, go Judas, go. And friends, this is how I see the act of betrayal beginning, when we trade Jesus for lesser treasures, when we trade Jesus for lesser treasures. Judas turns on Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It is cheap in comparison to the immeasurable worth of Christ. And all of his goodness and all of his grace and all of his mercy and his kindness and his love, why would someone trade all of that for 30 pieces of silver? If I can say it plainly, there are even some of us in this room who are like Judas. We will do something strange for a piece of change. I'm trying to help, okay? I'm trying to be of help. What I'm trying to say is we'll trade Jesus for fleeting things, for money, power, influence, comfort, the approval of others. And instead of faithfully following Jesus, we'll go the way of Judas, trading him for something else. Or some of us have limits. You know, I mean, we're all human. Jesus, I will follow you, but if it's going to cost me, well, maybe we can have a conversation. I'm going to follow you, but if it's going to cost me the bag, I cannot. Well, it's not that I can't with your help. I will not be faithful. And friends, let me be humble in the presence of the Spirit and of the holy ones, the saints, you, Point Harbor Church. It's not just a challenge for those in the pew. It's something that pastors feel too. I feel God calling me in this direction. I feel God calling me to lead in this way. I feel God calling me to direct and disciple in this way. But there might be somebody in the church who is generous to the church, and maybe they're in opposition to how I feel that God is calling us to go and where he is calling us to go. Do I mute the voice of God to appease somebody in the congregation? Oh, can I talk, y'all? Can I talk this morning? Or do I follow the voice of God? Do I hear the voice of God and obey and follow with humility and the help of the Spirit, or do I give in to that chant? Go, Judas, go, Judas, go. And instead of going in the way of Jesus, I end up going in the way of Judas. Y'all, the pressures are real. We all feel it. The temptations are challenging in every way. And the temptations will lead us, instead of going the direction of righteousness as a part of following Jesus, we'll hear that there's a noise in the engine. And instead of addressing it and asking the Lord to give us direction on how it can be rectified, instead, we turn the music up real loud, hoping that that clanging noise in the engine will go away, and we turn our favorite song up real loud. Go, Judas, because that's my Judas. Go, Judas, because that's my Judas. Or we play our other favorite song. Go, Judas, it's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We sing to the song of following Judas. This continues as we continue in Matthew 26. I want you to look at verses 20 through 25. This is the Last Supper. All of you are familiar with it, right? And this is an example of missing Jesus in the presence of Jesus. Matthew 26, starting in verse 20, this is what it says. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. Now, you all have read the gospel accounts. You know that throughout these gospel accounts, Jesus is sitting at the table with people. He's entering into homes. There was one home that Jesus entered in, and the religious leaders, as this woman approached Jesus and she's weeping and washing his feet with her hair and her tears. And they was like, if you knew what kind of woman she is, ain't you supposed to be a prophet? Aren't you a messenger from God? You would be nowhere near her. We also know that Jesus was reclining at table, we read in Luke's gospel, with tax collectors and sinners. Right, the folks from Richmond, the tax office in Richmond, Jesus was hanging with them. Whoever's in charge of the tolls, Jesus was hanging out with them. The people whom society despised and held in low esteem, rejected, even folks who were involved in oppressing the people, unfair and unjust taxation, Jesus was near to them, the worst of the worst. But this example is a little different. He's at the table with his disciples. And as they were eating, this is what Jesus said. Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. One more time. Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were very sorrowful. And they began to say to him and to one another, they were all pious. Is it I, Lord? Is it me? Who will it be? And Jesus answered, he who has dipped his hand in this dish with me will betray me. He's eating with me and will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for him, for that man, if he had not been born. And Judas, who would betray him, answered, is it I, Rabbi? And at this point, Satan had already put it in Judas's heart to betray him. The deal has already been made. It just needs to be finished. So Jesus looks at Judas and he says, you have said so. You have said so. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. He knows that Judas had already begun the process of betrayal and he still ate with him. How many of us would be able, knowing that somebody was planning to do us something dirty, knowing that they would cause us pain and they would cause us grief, would still be able to be at a table with them, let alone bow down, go low, and to wash their feet? Judas was living in a way that was more receptive to Satan than to Jesus. One more time. Judas was living in a way that was more receptive to Satan than Jesus. And so the invitation for us all is to consider our manner of lives. Is the way that I live, am I more in tune with, am I more postured toward, am I more likely to go in the way of darkness or to follow Jesus in his marvelous light? Can I make it plain? People will sit in church, take communion, sing worship songs, and they will still miss Jesus. Ouch. It's good for us on a Sunday morning to say ouch. Jesus observes the Passover meal with his disciples to include Judas. Judas is at the table. And it helps us principally to know that you can be around Jesus's people, around Jesus's disciples, and not be a disciple. Jesus washes the feet of the disciples to include Judas. We read that in John 13. And we're mindful that we don't want to miss Jesus in the presence of Jesus. But that's the way of Judas. To be in the presence of Jesus, to be in the presence of the body of Christ, to be in the presence where the Spirit of God is working and God is fathering sons and daughters, and to miss that we become beloved sons and daughters through faith in Jesus Christ. Inherently, we find ourselves rooting for Judas. Go, Judas, go. Go, Judas, go. I want you to keep looking with me. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. 26 through 46. Because the story keeps developing. This is what it says. It's speaking of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then Jesus, he went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, listen to what he says, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. And then Jesus began to be sorrowful and troubled. Y'all know what's about to happen. He's about to go to the place of skulls, right? Golgotha. He's about to be crucified. He's about to hang his head and die on a cross after being beaten, spit upon, laughed at, and mocked. As he moves toward Jerusalem, as he moves toward the cross, he is sorrowful and troubled. I want to talk to a few of you because you came in here this morning and deep in your body and your heart, you are sorrowful and you are troubled. I've got good news for you in your sorrow and your trouble. Jesus knows all about sorrow and trouble. And if that's how you feel today, I'm glad the Spirit helped you. Maybe the Spirit even carried you and brought you here. Yeah, you were driving, but it was the Lord who brought you here. So you can be reminded that Jesus, who loves you, he may not deliver you from that sorrow and that trouble on today. Maybe he will. He is God. But I want you to know that he is with you in your sorrow and your trouble. And I want you to know, if you look to your left and look to your right, you are not alone. You are with the Lord's people who are with you during times of sorrow and trouble. That's one of the means that Jesus used to help us during our times of sorrow and trouble, his church. Well, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, sorrowful and troubled. And then he says this to his disciples, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little further, Jesus fell on his face and he prayed. Have you been there? I'm talking about in the midnight hour. There's agony in your bones. It seems like things aren't going as they should. It seems like life is just hard for no reason, and you fall down on your face down in the carpet, and you're praying and you're asking the Lord to intervene. If you haven't been there, I pray that the Lord will bring this to remembrance to you when you're in that hour, that Jesus praying face down. And listen to Jesus's prayer. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You can hear the agony. This is the humanity of the eternal Son of God. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. We know Jesus is about to take a big sip, a full gulp of the wrath of God on the cross. If it be possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But then you hear the rest, so nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. In tune with the will of the Father, sent by the Spirit into the world to live, heal, teach, proclaim the rule and reign of God, to die. And ultimately, we have hope because he was raised from the dead, betrayed on the way to fulfilling his purpose. And he came to his disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Do y'all feel that? I feel that. I don't know if I can be honest on this Sunday. The spirit is willing, oh, but this flesh of mine, it is weak. I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit intercedes for me with groanings too deep for words. I'm so thankful that Jesus prays for me. I'm so thankful that I'm kept by the love of the Father. But at times in my life, y'all, I mean, Monday was good. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday was good. But by Thursday, Friday, Saturday, oh, I'm reminded that this flesh, I'm preaching to one or two of y'all, I promise, this flesh, I wish it was not so. Lord Jesus, come quickly. It ought not to be this way. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, for the second time, he went away and he prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and he prayed for a third time. Saying the same words again. And then he came to the disciples and he said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later." There is a time to pray. There is a time to rest. Some of you are resting. Get some prayer in. Some of you are praying, but you're anxious. Get some rest in. There's a time to pray. There's a time to rest. Sleep and take your rest later on. "See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Go, Judas, go. Go, Judas. Go, Judas, go. "Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is Matthew 26. It's the Garden of Gethsemane. He took Peter with him, and the two sons of Zebedee, "Stay here, keep watch and pray. Let this cup pass." No, because it's the only way. Then he turned to his disciples and he found them asleep. Yeah, I know the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. On his face. Now he's on his face. He went away a second time just so he could pray. When temptation's overwhelming, yeah, I know the feel. Jesus stood ready to drink it. It's the Father's will. Third visit, are they praying? No, their eyes are heavy. The betrayer's on the way, but the Son is ready. The betrayer's on the way, but the Son is ready. They will crucify the King, but the Son is ready. All that pain, it will sting, but the Son is ready. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Yes, the Son is ready. He could have shifted and went left, but he kept it steady. The betrayer's on the way, but the Son is ready. Go, Judas, go, Judas. Go, Judas, go. Hosanna to the King. The crown is heavy. They will crucify the King, but the Son is ready. And it seems at times that we want Judas to win. Go, Judas. Go, Judas, go. Well, by the time we get to Matthew 27, verses 1 through 5, the betrayal is full on. The betrayal led to Jesus' arrest. Jesus is put before Caiaphas in the council. They know what kind of man that he is, but they still put him on trial. You see, the mob mentality will lead us to put a messenger from God on trial, in contrast to honoring him. One more time. The mob mentality will have us to put a messenger from God on trial. The regret that leads to death, but does not lead to life. Matthew 27, 1 through 5. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people, they took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him, and they led him away, They delivered him over to Pilate, the governor. And then we read in verse 3 that Judas hangs himself. Then when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned unjustly, might I say, he changed his mind. He had a change of mind, but he did not have a change of heart. There's a difference. He changed his mind and he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And how did they reply? What does that have to do with us? The deal has already been made. What is that to us? You got to stand on that. See to it yourself. And Judas, he throws down the pieces of silver into the temple. I think he's realizing to some extent that the 30 pieces of silver are worthless. He throws them down and then he leaves and he went and hanged himself. How should we view Judas's actions, the man that we have been rooting for all morning? Well, I actually think later portions of the New Testament actually help us. You see, there is a godly sorrow that leads to life, but there's a worldly sorrow that leads to death. It seems as if Judas has a worldly sorrow. He's upset. He's caught up in all of this. And this is how I get there. I am convinced that Judas was around when Jesus was healing the sick, when he was casting out darkness, when he was calling men and women to wholeheartedly follow him. I'm convinced that Judas was around when Jesus offered forgiveness to the worst of the worst. And so I know this, that Judas could have gone to Jesus and said, Jesus, y'all know how we come to Jesus? It's something like this. Regularly we find ourselves, Lord, it's Charles again. I'm back, Lord. Yep. Thank you for receiving me. I was out here wilding. I was living foolish. I was behaving. I wasn't believing you. I was trusting more in myself than trusting in you. I was off course. Lord, I sinned. Judas could have gone to Jesus, having seen him forgive the worst of sinners, and asked for pardon, forgiveness, mercy, and grace. And y'all, I know a little bit about Jesus. I believe that even Judas could have gotten pardon. So I'm mindful of this in a room like this. Are we taking our cares, our concerns, our sins to Jesus with a confidence that there is forgiveness, mercy, and grace in him? You see, we answer that question by how we live. And some of us, we root for Judas in how we live. He chooses despair instead of repentance. He realizes sin and he feels regret for what he has done, but he does not find Jesus to confess his sins. He does not repent. He does not seek forgiveness. He was close when Jesus forgave the worst of sinners and didn't see himself as one of the worst who could be forgiven. Have you ever tried that? Knowing you have gone left and you try religious rituals, outward shows of repentance, but there's no deep inner change. You see, instead of hardening your heart toward God, how about you lift your heart up to God and say, Lord, my heart is not in the place it ought to be, where it should be, and I lift my heart up to you, Lord. And I know with the lifting up of my heart, it is not of my own strength that I lift my heart up to you. It's you already working. You are aiding in the lifting up of my heart for you to change my heart. Amen. Have you ever felt guilt, and instead of turning to Jesus, you go to tobacco, tequila, pornography, self-harm, or self-condemnation? It's okay, church. The Lord knows. He knows all about us, and yet he still loves us. He knows we go the way of Judas, and he still keeps beckoning us back to himself. But I want to encourage you not to condemn yourself. One, because you are not God. You have no power to condemn. But I also want to encourage you that Judas is actually aiding in the purposes of God, because your condemnation, Jesus bore it on a cross. The cup did not pass him. The judgment that is due to Judases like us was poured out on Jesus, who is not like us, that we might be like him. I'm trying to help somebody. That we might be in him safe and secure. You see, two things can be true. The cross is the result of a bunch of Judases living in a way that rejects Jesus as Lord. But the cross is also God's plan to forgive a bunch of Judases so that they can live in a way that receives Jesus as Lord. Anybody who confesses Jesus as Lord, they are renouncing the ways of Judas and they're choosing, with God's help and his guidance, to follow Jesus. And the cross is the only way that we can rise up beyond our Judas ways with all the Judas up in us, y'all. And we can finally, with the help of the Spirit which raised Christ from the dead after the crucifixion, we finally can push back, y'all. And we can say, no, Judas, no, Judas, no. No, Judas, no, Judas, no. And we can receive Jesus as Lord. How do we shake off our Judas-like ways? We receive Christ who died and was raised that we might have relationship with him. And it changes. We are changed. I hope that's somebody's heart cry today. Judas has chosen a life that leads to death. He cannot return the coins. He cannot count the coins. He is dead. And I'm sure on that sorrowful Saturday, as the disciples sat in sorrow, not yet seeing the full picture of resurrection hope, and for those of us who are in seasons of waiting, we're called to pursue and to practice and embrace and ask the Lord to give us hope, trusting that God is at work even in silence. And so we pray, what areas in my life am I waiting on God to renew, to bring resurrection? And we ask the Lord to help us to trust him as his plans are unfolding in our life. Because if we are in Christ, his plans are unfolding in our life, even when we cannot see it. And that's actually what's happening toward the dawn of the first day of the week, which is where I want to conclude, in Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, you all know the story. It's the story of resurrection. We're told that after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary and the other Mary, they went to see the tomb. And look what happens. There was a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came, rolled back the stone, and sat upon it. And this angel had a fresh all-white fit with some white Air Force Ones. The earliest manuscripts support this reading. Just trust me. It says it right there. His clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, just like he said that he would. I can show you better than I can tell you. Go see the place where he lay. And then go quickly." I like that word, go. "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." And so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And look what happens. Jesus met them. Y'all, they were just in agony and sorrow. And then Jesus meets them. That's a reminder for one person here. I'm here to help. I want to be of encouragement. In the midst of your sorrow and your grief, in the midst of death, ailing bodies, wounds in your heart, betrayal in your story, Jesus meets them. And what does he say? He greets them. He meets them and greets them. Greetings. And they came up and they took a hold of his feet and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the conclusion. We've gone from betrayal to blessings. Now go. So yes, Judas dipped, but Jesus did not. He left for a little while, only to take his life back up. And I love, after the resurrection, Jesus doesn't walk away from the disciples who failed him. He walks up out of the grave and he went right back to that same group of disciples with all of their doubts, their fears, and their flaws, just like us. And he gives them a purpose anyway. Even though they have doubts, fears, and flaws, and there are other disciples who have the ways of Judas, he gives them a mission anyway. And brothers and sisters, he's doing the exact same thing right now. You might have come in here with questions, carrying your own doubts, pain, and grappling with your own betrayals. And I love that Lecrae and Ty Dolla Sign, they help us, right? If I ever took a loss, I learned a lesson. I've been down before the come up, I ain't stressing. Why? Because I'm too busy counting all these blessings. Yeah. I love the gospel story. It reminds us that even though a betrayal, even though pain, even though death may happen, God uses those things as a means of blessing. That's real, y'all. We've all taken losses in our story. We've all have been Judas in our own way, but the resurrection flips the whole thing. This is the good news in the gospel. Loss becomes lesson. Betrayal becomes breakthrough, and doubt, it gets laced with purpose, as the disciples were even wondering and doubting, is he the one? But the resurrection tells us, yes, he is the one. And now Jesus is saying, go. Look, this is how he says it. Matthew 28, look at verse 16. The 11 disciples, they went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. There are some who are doubting. And Jesus came and he said to them, I have authority, high and low. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And in light of me having this authority, let me bestow a blessing. Go therefore and make disciples of all the peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them or discipling them to observe, to obey all that I have commanded you. And check this out, I'm going to be with you even unto the end of the age. He says to the disciples, go. Go and tell your people. This is for us, y'all. Y'all receive this blessing. Go make disciples. Go love your city. Go cross cultures. Go baptize. Go teach. Go live differently. Don't live like Judas. Live in the power of the Spirit like Jesus. That's the mission, to make disciples of all nations. And your pastors are embodying this now in the trip that they have taken to be a refreshment to the brothers and sisters in a different part of the world. And they too are tempted to go the way of Judas. But with the help of God's Spirit and his church, they can live like Jesus. And so we go to the block in the city of Norfolk, in the hood, to the boulevard, from Hampton Roads to the nations, black, brown, white, rich, poor, young, mature, everybody. We believe, we put our confidence in Christ and what he has done for us. We are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We grow by grace and we continue to go. We continue to scatter with the promise that God is with us, even in the mess, even in the streets, even unto the end of the age. So before you leave, I want us to ask ourselves, what if today isn't about going like Judas, but going like Jesus? Let's pray toward that end. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have all authority, heaven and earth, high and low. Throughout the 757, the Commonwealth of Virginia, U.S., North America, the entire earth in which you created. And now in the power of the Spirit, which has brought about new creation in us, we are beloved sons and daughters. We now cry, Abba, Father. We now proclaim that Jesus is Lord. You have given us all that we need in order to put off the Judas in us and to embrace the new creation. And as a part of the new creation, we are new in you by the Spirit. And you charge us, you bestow a blessing, a commission on us to go and to make disciples of all the peoples. Let us not be surprised in our efforts that we encounter opposition from darkness, from Judas, from Satan himself. But Jesus, we trust with your authority and your blessing that you will guard us in marvelous light. May we be a light to many as you work in us and through us. May we be a light to all peoples that Jesus is Lord. And through the way that we live and minister, may we, as God's people, exclaim and proclaim, go Jesus, go Jesus, go. Go Jesus, go Jesus, go. Go Jesus, go Jesus, go. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.